Good morning to you all. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to talk to you today about time. Time is a valuable thing. We all know that. And we'd like to use our time in the wisest way possible. And sometimes people wonder about the best way to get the most out of it. We're going to talk about time a little bit. And as we do so, I'll answer a few questions that people have about when is the right time to do certain things. For example, when is the right time to be baptized? When is the right time to go to church? That is, the frequency of it. At what time should a person be taking the Lord's Supper? How often should we do that? At what time should the church be raising money? How often should we do that? And on we go. Let's talk a little bit about those times and answer a few questions right off the bat to try to get your attention, okay? Question came up recently about the time in which somebody should be taking the Lord's Supper. This came up not just locally at Mount Gilead, but in a different way, a similar way, at a local person stopped me and asked me about it. And so evidently it's something people are interested in right now. We'll go ahead and deal with that subject. At what time does a person take the Lord's Supper? Well, they take it at the time of the first day of the week. According to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, the disciples met upon the first day of the week to take bread. Now, when they came to break bread, they obviously could do that at any time during the week if it was a regular meal. But they came for the very purpose of doing that on Sunday. So when they came together for that purpose, they weren't just going to have a fellowship meal. They were also going to remember the Lord in the act of worship that we call the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul regulated this further and talked about it in the book of 1 Corinthians. In fact, he went at length into it in chapters 10 and 11, especially in chapter 11, and we might deal with that some more in just a little bit. But first of all, let's go back to the timing of the Lord's Supper. When it comes to when you take it, a person might say, well, I'm not able to be there at that time at worship. For one reason or another, some people are sick, some people have a job that keeps them out, some people are among the shut-ins, others in nursing homes, all kinds of reasons why people cannot be there at the same time as others to take the Lord's Supper. So they say, well, as long as it's on Sunday, then why can't I take the Lord's Supper then? It's not a question of whether you can or can't. A person is authorized to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. However, if you look in the Bible, I can't find any time where they took of the Lord's Supper apart from the assembly of the brethren. When the brethren are gathered together, they take the Lord's Supper. And the Bible mentions in that passage in 1 Corinthians I talked about in chapter 11, when you all come together in one place. So when they met on the first day of the week and they were gathered together, then at that time they took the Lord's Supper, and we do not read of any other type of situation where it is taken. Now, Jesus initiated the Lord's Supper with his apostles. You understand that. That was the first time he did it, and it was a different sort of occasion. But in the church, you look at examples for that and when they took of it. I just don't see anything indicating that the church comes together and takes the Lord's Supper and that you do it any other time. Look at verse 17 in 1 Corinthians 11. Now this, I declare unto you, and I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. So what were they messing up? He said, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. So he's talking about when they get together as a church, the assembly of the brethren. In verse 23, just go down a couple of verses, he says, I have received of the Lord Jesus what I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And then he talks to them about the Lord's Supper remembrance. So he says, when you get together, when you come together into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, he says. Verse 20, in other words, they should have, but they were messing it up. They were causing it to be like a regular meal and so forth. It's not time during the worship service for you to be taking your regular meal. But instead, it is the time in the assembly of the church for people to remember Jesus Christ. All right, someone says, what if, though, outside of that, I have a worship time and I take of the Lord's Supper? Once again, I'm not telling you in that kind of case. What I'm saying is we're authorized to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. But if you're telling me I need to accommodate your time outside of church to come and bring you the Lord's Supper, then, my friend, I'm not going to accommodate you. I'm not doing it. Why? Because am I going to come and preach to you? You want me to do that? Nobody calls on me and says, Tim, I want you to come preach to me. It's time for you to preach to me. They never set aside a time for that. Well, are you going to set aside a time so I can come over there and you can give of your means? Nobody ever contacts me and says, hey, preacher, I want you to come by and pick up this check. I want you to bring it over by church. I can't make it over there, or I won't be there the other day, so why don't you go ahead and take it and put it in the basket come Sunday? I say never, almost never would anybody tell me that kind of thing. And does somebody say, well, preacher, I want you to come pray for me? Yeah, sometimes, if they're sick or something, but I don't normally just wait until Sunday to do that. The Lord's Supper is a special remembrance, and it's something that is done with the brethren. So when you take of the Lord's Supper, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Well, who are you showing if you don't show it in front of the brethren? You say, well, I show it with whoever it is that I'm with. I understand that. However, it is once again spoken of as a congregational activity, and even though it's your own personal remembrance, it is not something where God's going to hold it against you if you haven't made the time. Oh, you say, but what happens, though, if I can't make it to church? My friend, it's just like if you can't make it to work. You just can't make it. You can't make it. Don't expect to get paid for that day, but at the same time, you aren't had it held against you if you can't make it. If the boss holds it against you, he's not a fair boss. Well, God's a fair boss. He doesn't hold it against you if you can't take the Lord's Supper at the designated time. Nobody's obligated to bring it to you if you're not there at church. It's not anything that has to do with the church running around here and there trying to say, well, who can I get the Lord's Supper to over here? Who can I get it to over there? It's not a situation like that. Just simply no need. So let's go back and look at the subject from another standpoint. When you have an opportunity to do something, then the Lord gives you directions about what is good and what is not good. If it is a good thing and you had that opportunity, the Lord expects you to do it. Well, the Lord gives us a time in which to take of his supper. And if you can't make that time, then that's not his fault. It's not your fault. It's just something that came up. Does the Lord hold that against you? He told us when to take it. And if you can't take it on that occasion, my friend, it's not anything that God is holding against you. He's not going to make some magical blessing occur to you just because you took the Lord's Supper when you couldn't do any of the other things or when you couldn't meet with the brethren. There's no obligation there at all in Scripture. So if God had put an opportunity in front of us and allowed us to go there and be at church, he expects his Christians, his children, to take the Lord's Supper. Yes. But if they're not there, then the obligation simply isn't there. Now, if they forsook the assembly, if they said, well, I just didn't go when I could have gone to church, then, my friend, you got a lot worse problems than just not taking the Lord's Supper. You got other kind of problems as well. Let's go back and look at a statement made in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, when the brethren first started worshiping and serving God after the great sermon that Peter preached there on the day of Pentecost, it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That's Acts 2 and verse 42. Now, what did they do? They had the breaking of bread. There's your Lord's Supper, my friend, right there. And in prayers. But notice what else it says. And in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They helped one another in the communion or in the fellowship with one another. They shared with each other the good things of this life, and they had fellowship. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles preached at them. They listened to them. And in the breaking of bread, they took the Lord's Supper, and they had their prayers. And, of course, camaraderie and everything else is increased by the singing of songs that we do, according to what we learn later on in the Bible as well. You add all that up together, and there you've got your Sunday worship service. But just to say, well, I missed one part of it, so somebody needs to come to my house and give me that one part. My friend, if you want me to come and have church in your house, then I'll do it. And if it's on Sunday, if we have a church service, then we can offer the Lord's Supper. I don't have any problem with that. But separate from that, I don't feel any obligation. Where is the obligation before God? If it doesn't exist, don't make it up. It's like people want to make all kinds of things up that don't really exist there. Well, a Christian ought to do blah, blah, blah. Well, really, what ought they to do? If it's not in the Bible, my friend, then you can't tell me I have to do it or that I ought to be doing it. Now, if it's in the Bible, then fine. We're all for that. Now, let's talk about church itself. What time is it when it talk about church attendance? Well, the Bible talks about them not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews 10, verse 25, did he say Sunday morning? No. Did he say Sunday night? No. At Mount Gilead, the Lord's Supper is offered on both occasions. Somebody says, well, I'll come Sunday morning, but I'm not going to come Sunday night. My friend, it's time for church. Where are you? You're not going to go to church Sunday night? I don't know what you're so worked up about on things on the Lord's Supper if you ain't going to go to church on Sunday night if you can come Sunday morning. Well, I don't get out at night. Well, you just now told me that. I understand when people say that I've got to an older age or I'm infirm or I don't see good anymore and I can't get out at night. Either somebody can take you or sometimes you just can't make it. I understand that. That's why we have two worship services. Some people work a second shift. Some can make it in the morning. Some can make it at night. Everybody understands that. But for somebody to just blow it off and say, well, I went to church one time today and one time was enough. Really? Still the first day of the week. My complaint here is not that you haven't fulfilled the Lord's will when you go to church, like on Sunday morning. My complaint is that's all you want. I only want to give the Lord the least amount of time that I possibly can. That's the idea, and that's what bugs me. Well, let's not do any more than we have to. We'll just give the Lord the least little bit. Really, just the least. And you think God's going to hold you blameless in that situation? The Jews were like that. Well, I'm just going to give you the least little bit of mercy. I'm just going to give you the least little bit of time to meet your obligations. Oh, but I want God to give me all the time to meet my obligations in the world. I want him to have all the mercy on me personally in the world. Well, then, my friend, you must be interested in him. And you yourself must be willing to sacrifice your own time and your own finances and your own convenience. If not, then you're not really prospering in the Lord like you should, and you're not really maturing as a Christian. If you go to church Sunday morning, why aren't you going Sunday night? You got other brethren that couldn't make it in the morning. They're going to come Sunday night, and they're going to want to take the Lord's Supper. They look around, and what kind of encouragement do they have? Evidently not much from you. You're not there. Come on. You know it's good for you. Surely the preacher's got a good lesson Sunday night. Sometimes they're even better because they have more time to develop the lesson. There's not as many announcements to make. Things like that. It's good to come out Sunday night. Oh, someone says, you got Wednesday night Bible study. What about that? Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about Wednesday night Bible study, but if your local congregation offers it, my question to you is why don't you want to come? If you don't want to take the time, then it's not a Bible verse that you need. There's no certain Bible passage. I'm not going to give you Hebrews 10:25 on that. Why? Because it may not be a whole church gathering there on Wednesday night, but it's a good opportunity. I use that word a lot. It's a good opportunity to learn about God's Word and to be there with God's people. If you don't want to come, then we've got a little issue. When you don't want to be there with the brethren, then we're getting to the root of it, aren't we? You'd rather be doing something else. Just exactly what is it that you're doing? Are you getting into some trouble? Could be. People oftentimes do not go to church and instead they spend that time on themselves. And whatever it is they're doing to entertain themselves, then they turn right around and act like, well, God's going to entertain me for all of eternity. Well, why? You didn't give him but maybe 1 hour in the week. And you want God to entertain you nonstop for all eternity. Let's see how that works out. I'm not telling you a certain Bible passage that tells you how many times you've got to come to church. I'm asking you to look inside your heart and ask yourself, is it not time for me to be more spiritual? Now, talking about spirituality, let's switch a little bit and talk about time when it comes to somebody growing up and they know that they have learned about Jesus, they know that they've done wrong in life, and they wonder, is it time for me to be baptized? Well, Jesus talks about us counting the cost. Now, if you've counted the cost and you realize you're ready to live a Christian life, it may be time. It might be time for you to obey the gospel. But if you come to God and you obey the gospel without any commitment to Him whatsoever, I've seen people, you can baptize them and then poof, that's it. They don't want to have anything to do with improving their character. They don't want to have anything to do with coming to church. They don't want to have anything to do with giving of their means to help less fortunate people. They just didn't want to have anything to do much with Christianity other than feel good in their conscience because, hey, somebody said I needed to be baptized. Being baptized is not something you do in and of itself for itself. It's connected with a lot of other stuff. For example, if somebody doesn't believe, you can't be baptized. And if you're not old enough to have a conception of faith that realizes Jesus is the Son of God and trust that He did indeed live upon this earth, that He died for you and that He rose on the third day, my friend, if you can't get your mind wrapped around that, then you're not ready to be baptized. I don't care how old you are. Someone may ask the question, when a child gets about 12 years of age, aren't they ready to get a hold of those ideas? Maybe. Maybe. In my case, no. I was just too stupid. I'm just kidding. In essence, I was. I was too immature, let's put it that way. Everybody starts out ignorant in life, don't they? That's all I mean by that. And I was just too ignorant at that time in my life. Ignorance is no excuse for not obeying God if you can become knowledgeable. But sometimes people are immature and it takes them a while to where they can learn. Anything's like that. Back when other children had good handwriting, mine was as sloppy as all get out. Teacher couldn't even read it. Around in the fourth grade, I had to take special classes. Why? Because I couldn't write. They had to get me to write better. And finally, I got to where I could write legibly. Same thing applies to anything you learn. You learn of Jesus Christ, but if you can't wrap your mind around Jesus being the Son of God, if you cannot understand that He gave Himself on the cross for your sins and mine, and that He has power over death and rose from the dead and can bring us along to heaven as well, then, my friends, you can't believe, you're not ready. Let's say you believe that. But you have some problems in life, the sins that you know you have, you're not ready to give them up. Then, my friend, you're not ready to be baptized. Even a little child that is causing problems at home, let's say that they go right back to causing the same problems, and they did not realize that becoming a Christian means that they would be a better child than they were before. Ephesians chapter 6 points out to us that the children are to obey their parents in the Lord, which is the first commandment with promise. You don't do that? Well, then why were you baptized? You were baptized into Christ to be a good child. Just because you're baptized didn't make you an adult, didn't mean you're out on your own. So you got an disobedient child, and he's unobedient just as much after as he was before. It makes you wonder if he didn't just get wet. Maybe he did. Maybe it wasn't time for him to be baptized. But the man or woman, fully believing in Jesus Christ, who is convicted of their sin and knows that God calls them to lead a better life. They've counted the cost and they are ready. They say, I want to be baptized. Then, my friend, you can't get them in the baptistry soon enough. It is time. And if that happens when they're 10 years old, if it happens when they're 20 years old, I don't know exactly what their brain development is going to be, but I do know there's a point. There is a time at which God holds them responsible. And when God holds them responsible, they had better get to that water quick, because God tells them to. They had better be repenting quick, because God doesn't promise them to live forever, and they won't have an unlimited amount of opportunities. I want you to consider time from another standpoint, too. Here, we're starting to get a little low on time on this sermon itself. But the Lord has everything planned out for us to do in life, and He gives different events in our life a time or an allotment. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? What do you mean? The wise man said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, To everything there is a season. There is a time to every purpose under the heaven. Going back to the first question we dealt with, the Lord's Supper question. There is a time and a place for everything. And he obviously didn't intend for people to just go along willy-nilly and say, well, I'll remember Jesus by doing this practice just any old time. Some religious groups may practice it that way, but that's not what the Bible teaches. God said they met on the first day of the week, so we do it that way. If God says there is a time and there is a season for every purpose under heaven, then, my friend, in every important event in our life, there is a great obligation by God to strike while the iron is hot. You know what that expression means? It means you go after it when you see that you can do it. If you don't strike while the iron is hot, then you're not going to bend that metal. You're not going to bend your soul. You're not going to get anything done. There's a time to be born and a time to die, he says. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Just like God gave us a time to go to church and do all these things, God gives us a time in which to live our lives. And he says, your life is running down. One of the reasons that people don't become Christians is because they've let their life run down and now their mind is getting thick. They're getting old. You can't reason with them anymore and they're set in their ways. And sometimes those ways are set straight for hell. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. You walk into the middle of a funeral going on and starting telling a big joke and just laughing your head off? Is that what you do? No, it's not time for that. There's a time to weep. Do you get in the middle of a comedy at a movie theater? Everybody's trying to have a good time and just start bawling your eyes out? You see how good a time people have then. There's not time for that. There's a time to mourn and there's a time to dance. It's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. It's a time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. You understand what I mean by all this. There's a time to lose. The little son or daughter moves out of home. It's time for them to set up their own home. You may lose them from your home, but it was time. There's a time to get. Somebody sees that they can be advanced at work. They're going to get a raise. You better ask for it right now. May not be able to later. You've got to strike when the iron is hot, when the time presents itself. My friend, time is valuable. Do you realize that God has set aside a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness? He sent Jesus in the fullness of time. Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5 says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The fullness of time. Did you get that out of the verse 4? Furthermore, God has set aside a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. When is that time going to arrive? I'm not sure. God says nobody knows. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, he says he's going to destroy the whole world on that occasion. But that time, I don't know whether it's going to be tomorrow. I don't know whether it's going to be 1,000 years from now. Who knows? But the day will arrive. And when it does, my friend, you'll be out of time. So won't you make today your day of salvation? Won't you serve God with all your heart while you've got the time? You think how sad it is for some people to look back on their life and say, I wasted all that time. I could have been doing something good. I could have loved more. I could have given more. I could have planned more. I could have done more. From my birth until my death. Don't look back on your life and say, oh, what a waste. Jesus made the most of the time. He took time to love. He took time to hate. That is, he hated sin. He took time to accomplish something good for his fellow man. Gave himself for your sins and mine. God teaches each one of us that you have talents, and he wants you to use them. Come Sunday, he wants you to use them in church. It'll be time to go to church. You going to get up and go? If not, then don't just be that way. That's just sorriness. Lift yourself up. Just like you make yourself go to work, go into church. And if you don't have a job, make church your job. Make serving God your job. God has given you a purpose in life. Are you fulfilling that purpose in life? God gave you talents, Matthew chapter 25. Are you using those talents? Let's say you got a man and he knows he's got a talent. He knows he's good at something. He's a good singer. He could be in there encouraging the other people in church with his singing. Singing one to another, the Bible says, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. Well, it's time for him to use those talents, but he just lets it waste. You may have done a lot of things in life, but if you didn't use your talent for God, it's just wasted. Are you good at making money? Why haven't you given more to God? Are you good at organizing people or organizing things? Why haven't you headed up somebody or led them in the church? Use whatever talent you've got for something more than just making a fast buck or for being comfortable and sitting there in your house. Get out. Get busy for God. I want to encourage you today in that. I want to encourage everybody listening to this program. If we can help you in any way at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, you let us know, because we want everyone to serve God while it is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Contact us. We'll baptize you into Christ. Contact us. We'll study the Bible with you if you don't know something. Come out and see us. We're going to be taking the Lord's Supper Sunday this morning at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. We'd love to have you come out and be with us. And my friend, if you're outside of Jesus Christ, then just observe the service. See what it's all about. You're not wasting an hour. You're blessing yourself with the teachings of God. You've spent enough time away from the Lord and giving it to the devil. It is high time to come to Christ. Thank you very much for listening this morning.